Yo, it's the real deal. O'Neal's on the mic. A dad and his kid, and we say what we like. From the Detroit burbs, yeah, we cover that map. Dropping all things good in a flat rim cap. Pop talk, gang talk, my body too. With the Motor City rhythm and the hometown crew. So if you're feeling the vibe, go ahead, press play. It's all things good every week, no delay.
Welcome in. It's another episode of The Real Deal O'Neal's talking about all things good. I'm your host, Aiden, and I'm here with...
your co-host, Stu, your father. So, yeah, how's things going? How's your week going? I mean, it just started, but you had a, had a weekend. Boy, we had a good day yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We went to go see the F1 movie. Great time.
That was extraordinary. I had great fun there.
I think that was the best movie I've seen all summer, and I've seen a lot.
It's a true summer movie. It's here for entertainment. The money's on the screen. Boy, they spent a lot to make that. So, and I still think that movies are. Where can you get two and a half hours of entertainment for like $8? You know,
right?
Let me just stay away from the food because that's another $50. But you know, we did. Boy, that was a great deal. I think, you know, the amount of entertainment you get.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt was great. Everybody was great in it.
Yep. Even I keep forgetting the actor's name, but the guy who played JP as well. I heard he's been in a lot of projects as well.
He's from the UK.
I
wasn't very familiar with him. He's a young man, but he was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a great time, one and all. And I know that one of the things that you took from it, other than the good time, was you like those chains around their neck, huh?
Yeah. And the thing was, it wasn't just the chains. It was the fact that they matched with every outfit they were wearing. Whether it was Brad Pitt's character or the other driver as well. I really enjoyed how Brad Pitt kind of had that. He brought that kind of like, I don't want to say country-esque, but kind of like...
it's a bit more rustic.
More rustic, and then the other guy had more of my style where it was...
it's a little slicker.
A little slicker, exactly.
Yeah. No, it was cool. I liked that. They were both... styled to the hilt in their own unique ways.
Yeah, and I liked the way that pearls were used.
Yeah. I did too. The young driver, he wore pearls a couple times around his neck. One was a bit more traditional of what one is probably visualizing when they hear it. But tell about the other two chain approach, because I thought that was really cool.
So the way I noticed it was he had one chain where it was like, I want to say it was a very thin box link chain. Excuse me. To like, if you were to look very close into it, it would be a box link. And then there were two pearls, one big one, one small one. One I want to say was about either a 20 length or a 22.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one was a 24, 26. One was longer, one was shorter, just that he could layer it. And I think that's something that I like to do personally whenever I'm wearing jewelry, especially chains. I like to layer up and try new approaches to that. And it's been my thing over the last couple of years, honestly, since I got into jewelry. But what did you like about Brad Pitt's outfits the most? Because I'm talking a lot about the other guy.
I mean, his stuff looked, even though I'm sure it wasn't in total, it looked a bit more historical. Like I kept putting by a picture of him and his late father. So it was obviously something that was handed down, I assume. And the chains, God, he had a lot of tattoos. I wonder if those are all real tattoos or whether they added some for the part. I imagine they augmented them. Because I think one of them was like a cartoon character of a hot dog. So
yeah, I don't know, but like Brad Pitt does have some natural tattoos.
Yeah,
as well.
But I mean, so again, I just liked a lot of the stuff looked like even the chains. He had multiple chains, but they were very thin chains with very small little
pendants
hanging from it. But I mean, it wasn't just fashion forward like the other drivers, seeming right. a bit more historical. And he had that really nice watch, but he wore a lot of bracelets. And my God, the clothes that he wore were quite cool as well.
Yeah. Do you know exactly what watch he was wearing as far as like a
you know,
model
I looked, it? I did look it up. I guess he worked with IWC, which is, I think, International Watch Company or something like that, and developed it. I thought it was a Philippe Patek or whatever they're called, but it was not, but it was a beautiful watch, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I guess I really liked his sunglasses, and I looked that up, and apparently those sunglasses are just vintage sunglasses that belong to the father of the costume designer.
Really? What type of sunglasses were they?
Oh, they're just kind of those orange ones. They're like aviator with like the lore. They just look very 1970s cool, which I think is pretty much the vibe that they were putting forward there.
For his character, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be the older driver, which he was. But you know what else I thought was really cool about the movie, excuse me, is that the workout approach that Brad Pitt had in the movie. You want to talk about that? Because I thought that was very cool and something that everybody should take away.
Yeah, so with Brad Pitt's character, I'll start with the other driver. He was using more of the advanced technologies
100%,
that were being used for hand-eye coordination and all the other stuff you need, like the oxygen and everything like that. And Brad Pitt's was more like if you have a floor, I'll do sit-ups. If you have a bar, I'll do pull-ups.
This is very analog.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of like similar to Rocky IV in a way, if you think about it, as Drago was more with technology and Rocky was more with like
using that's a good nature. Point. Yeah, throwing those logs around, chopping wood, things like that. But I like Brad Pitt's because it was very straightforward and a simple reminder that you know, if you have a floor, guess what? You can do crunches, you can do push-ups. Oh, look, there's a bar above you. You can do pull-ups, and oh, look, there's a sidewalk or a road or a track out there. Go running. So the whole approach was, I don't need a gym. I don't need any special equipment. And for his reflexes, the one guy had that advanced technological machine where it's kind of like whack-a-mole. And Brad Pitt had what?
Tennis balls.
Yeah, he just had two tennis balls or three that he was just rapid-fire throwing and catching against the wall. It just shows you. I mean, I look at it. I love a gym. But man, oh man, push comes to shove. You know, do your push-ups, do your sit-ups, and go take a run, and you're good. You know.
Yeah, I do think that new technology that you mentioned, like the whack-a-mole-esque look.
Yeah,
that was actually something I really liked, and I've noticed it with F1 drivers before I even saw the movie.
Oh, you've seen them work out on those things?
Oh yeah, and they don't just do that. Like F1 drivers, when it comes to the way they work out, it's intense. And some of them strap their heads to something, and they have something that kind of resists them. They have to keep it still.
Oh yeah,
just because of what they're driving. They're wearing helmets and all of that.
Well, the G forces, your body is being swung around
right
so much when they're going, I don't know, 180, 200 miles an hour
around.
I
don't know what they
do, but that can be very hard.
On
one's neck and back. So the way they're developing strength there, I thought was real cool. All in all, just a fantastic movie. And you know what I heard? I heard that he and they might do a collab between him and Tom Cruise, you know, for the next F1 movie.
Really?
Yeah, for Tom Cruise. I don't know if they were bringing that Days of Thunder, which was a movie in the 80s or early 90s that he did. Where with Robert Duvall, directed by Tony Scott, RIP, and where he played a NASCAR driver. It was a good movie. You should check it out.
Really? No, I've never seen that.
Well, so it predates your birth by over a decade.
Well, I mean, but you introduced me to a lot of movies in your time frame to where I would have seen a lot more than most kids my age.
Yes, that could be true. So, we will have to check that out. But, F1, the movie, go see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, you like the soundtrack too, right?
Yeah, I'll talk about that too.
That could be another pop culture little entry there. Tell me about the soundtrack. What you liked about it so much?
What I loved about the soundtrack is they used artists from completely different genres. The first song is by Don Toliver and Doja Cat, and obviously they're in the hip-hop realm. There's a song with Ed Sheeran in there. He's more pop. Tate McRae, who's also like an up-and-coming pop artist.
Nice.
And then they even had a K-pop artist, Rosé. Yeah. And also, if you really go down in that playlist, there's a song by Chris Stapleton in there as well. Bringing in some country in there, too.
Oh, sure. So, sure, they're trying to appeal to everyone here, and they're doing it.
And it's working.
Oh, yeah. did you have a favorite song from the soundtrack?
I want to say it was the first one. I keep forgetting the name of it, but I listened to it on the way here.
Oh, nice.
The song with Rosé as well.
Yeah, that's
really good.
That's a great song.
I do really like that one.
I just like how, again, man, the energy on the screen from the cars, the cinematography, the acting, and the music. Man, oh, man. You weren't checking your phone, were you? You know?
I wasn't going to anyways.
No, but I mean, yeah, no, it's not the thing to do in a movie theater. I'm just saying, you never even felt the... It was never boring. Again.
There were a couple movies I've seen this year to where that was brought up, to where I would have done that because of it being boring. But yes, this movie, not the case. It was so phenomenal.
Agreed. So do you have any, thinking of all things good, do you have any thoughts on sports in general? It's a quiet time of year, you know, in terms of like most sports are shut down with the exception of baseball, but it's middle of the season or towards the end anyway. And it's a little quiet out there unless you're a real golf lover, which I'm not.
The Midsummer Classic just ended. The baseball All-Star festivities ended.
Tell me about that.
Amazing. In the last podcast, I mentioned Jazz Chisholm Jr., like watch out for him going into the Derby.
Yeah.
He was atrocious. He only hit 3 home runs that entire Derby, and he wore a chain like super thick, and he was wearing like his glasses too. Like,
yeah,
to an extent, it kind of like
maybe you should take that chain off. See if you might be holding him.
Maybe
him
so
back a little bit.
But it was a really good All Star game. I watched it and loved it that Scooble was the starter. He struggled, but it was fun to see him there. Every Tiger actually struggled in that game, but that's not what we're here to talk about. The game actually went to extras, and there was a new rule to where if a game went to extra innings, there would be a swing-off, kind of like a home run derby, to determine the winner. And it just went back and forth, and then Kyle Schwarber, who represented the Phillies, former National and former Cub, World Series champion with the Cubs.
Friend of the pod.
He hit the go-ahead home run to give the National League the victory. And you know what I'm loving to see? From the last 4 All-Star games from 2022 to this year, 2022, the American League won, the National League won in 23, American League won in 24, now the National League won again. And it's great to see for the sport because it's been one-sided for almost a decade with the American League.
Well,
and now
good.
We're seeing it being competitive again.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. You know, yeah, I wish, though. It's like, well, it was on a Tuesday. Again, I don't want to be negative on a show called All Things Good. But you know what? MLB, I know you're listening. Let's bring the game back to the weekend, all right?
You know, and they did it. They did that on the 2013 All-Star Game, if I'm not mistaken. Back at Citi Field in New York. So, yeah, it's been around as far as games on weekdays.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, let me just, instead of saying what I don't like, I like the games on the weekend. That reminds me of when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
God, we didn't have them on a Tuesday, that's for sure. Now, my sports story that's making me happy is, remember on last week's pod, what's making me happy is the passing of the torch that's going on in basketball, you know, about how all the young players, OKC, Indiana, you know, Ant in Minnesota, how they're taking over the league, and people like LeBron, Steph, they're fading, obviously, into, they're not going to be around that much longer. They're old. But anyway, you know what I did love? Did you see who the Clippers signed?
Bradley Beal?
Guess who else?
Who's the other guy?
Chris Paul.
What?
So they're leaning into it's like an old man retirement home, but these guys still got it. So they have. So you got Bradley Beal, Chris Paul, and you got Kawhi Leonard and
James Harden.
I mean, these guys are all in the 30s. I mean, they can still go, and they have depth behind them too.
They really do.
They have a good team, but I just love that they're saying, "No, we're good. We're gonna become a little retirement home here," and because these guys still have so much to give. So I love that story that you got those four dudes. You know, two of them former Max guys. The other two are still kind of Max, but they're all coming together, and hopefully they all stay healthy. That is not likely, historically speaking, but you know, hopefully they have enough support that they can enter the playoffs healthy and really put on a show. Because Kawhi Leonard's he's one of my all time faves just because the way he carries himself on the court. Yeah, he's a great.
He's
player.
One of mine too.
Yeah, he's just stoic and hard work.
Yeah, though this could be another good. Imagine that team. With Prime SGA.
They didn't trade. Boy, they made the biggest mistake in the world going after Paul George.
And then I don't think it was horrible at the time because SGA was only a rookie.
I certainly didn't see it coming.
But I liked Shea a lot.
A lot of people did. I wasn't exposed to him. I didn't know. It sounded like a good move at the time. But they didn't even just give up Shea. They gave up so many draft picks. It was
one of those draft picks turned out to be Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, it was honestly the one of the worst trades of all time. It was the fleecing of the Clippers. Not the first time, and let's face it, probably not the last time too. So anyway, that'll be interesting. To see. So what about what's bringing you joy in the Detroit metropolitan area, in the city or the burbs or wherever, man?
For me, it's more up north, and it's further away from Metro Detroit. It's closer to where I reside out in Davisburg.
Okay.
Right off Dixie Highway, there's this inn I discovered called Springfield Inn in Springfield Township.
Okay.
And it's like right in the center of Clarkston and Holly. That's what Davisburg is.
Yep.
And I went there, and I had previously went there before, and I just went there for a simple drink, and there was no live music or anything, but they started doing karaoke's.
Oh, boy.
That was fun.
Did you get in there?
Of course.
Yeah. What'd you sing?
Sang Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine.
All right, that sounds very melodic.
Yeah, it was, but it was fun. And the thing about it was I went a little too crazy and I lost my voice afterwards, because if you were to hear that song, it's pretty much a song with screaming in it. So I went a little hard there, but at the very end, I actually got a standing ovation from it, so that was a good feeling.
Man.
But
you got to bring it.
Just that. I don't want to talk too much about myself on this one. I saw a lot of amazing things from other people that were participating, and there was an older couple singing. It was one of those Frank Sinatra songs. It's like, then I go and spoil it all and say something stupid. Like, I love that song they sang.
Yeah.
And there was just a lot of versatility. And the girl that went, there was a girl before me that went, and she sang Carrie Underwood and absolutely killed it.
I don't know. I love karaoke.
It was versatile.
It's just joyous, you know?
You're not just hearing country. You're not just hearing rock. There was a guy that did an entire song by, I want to say it was Wu-Tang Clan.
All right.
Yeah, we got some Wu-Tang Clan in...
Clan.
The Wu-Tang Clan in Davisburg, Michigan, which is very country.
Yeah, to say the least. That's cool. That sounds great.
How about yourself? What's been in the Metro Detroit area for you?
You know what? I wanted to highlight that thrills me to no end. I almost want to gatekeep this. I almost want to keep people from knowing all about all these places, but I want them to thrive as well. And that's the myriad of Asian markets that we have in the area. Mm. We have the great Korean market called H-Mart at 16 De Quinder.
Yep.
You go up the road, we have... 168 market, which is more Chinese from what I'm told, and H Mart is Korean, and then there's also this place called Saigon Market, where they make banh mi sandwiches for only $3 a piece. Extraordinary. They make their own bread.
Yeah.
And then there's this new more Indonesian, Vietnamese place. It's called Kim Nhung Superfood. I'm sorry to anyone if I mispronounced that, and I'm sure I did. It's extraordinary, and it's it focuses on a lot on seafood, and they have it's worth just walking through there. They have oysters as big as my hand that I'm sure come from the area, or maybe Japan, because I know Japan has a city that focuses on extremely large oysters, which sounds incredible. But I mean, the things they have in there, I mean, they have exotic things that I'll never want. I'm not going to pick up a turtle or a frog in there and bring it home and eat it. But I will eat it if somebody else does it, prepares it for me.
For sure. Do you have a preferred, like out of all the Asian countries that you mentioned, do you have a preferred country that you would eat most of their food from?
You know what? I love Vietnamese food. I love Vietnamese food. But you know what? I love Chinese food. I love Korean food. I mean, we've been going to Korean barbecues, you know, for since you were a little kid. So I love them all. But yeah, Sophie's Choice, gun ahead. I'm going Vietnamese food all the way.
What sets them apart from everybody else?
You know, I don't know how apart it is, but generally speaking, and I do mean general because I'm no expert on this. I love Vietnamese and Thai food at its best, just because it really leans into fresh things. It leans into the garden, you know. It brings vegetables and seafood together, and sometimes, you know, non-seafood, other types of protein in extraordinary ways. There's this place in New York called Zab Zab. It's in Queens. Yeah. And they have a duck larb, where they have duck meat, duck skin, and duck liver in there, and it's tossed with all these hot peppers and shallots and lime juice and cilantro. And you have those lettuce cups for it, and it's extraordinary. It's extraordinarily hot and spicy as well.
Right.
But I think about that, and that kind of gives the Vietnamese food a nod of the hat to me, you know. So anyway, get out there, go to those Asian markets. Don't be afraid, and you'll never go back to Kroger except to maybe for your returnables.
Yeah, no, I go there for that and that only.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, you know what I really love about these places is a sense of discovery. I mean, most places, if you go to Kroger, you're just picking up items off a list, and it doesn't feel fun. It feels more like a task.
Less authentic.
And here I'm walking through, and I'm hoping to discover something new to me that I can partake in. How about yourself? Where do you stand with Asian foods as currently your experience has informed?
I love Korean food the most.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that I don't love the others.
I think you just haven't been exposed as much to it.
I've been exposed to Chinese takeout and all that, and I've had some Japanese food as well. I'm not the biggest sushi guy, but I'll eat it.
Yep.
But something about Korean barbecue is always different for me. And obviously, you mentioned H Mart because you're willing to discover something new that's there. I'll mention a place that's completely out of the Asian region, too, is Carnival out in Auburn Hills, the Mexican place.
Oh, Pontiac, yeah.
Oh, Pontiac. Yep. Closer to Auburn.
No, I think that's a great point, Aiden, because it's not about... I mean, I was highlighting Asian markets, but it's more about... the beauty that other cultures and immigrants, bring to this country. You know,
oh my God.
So it's like, it's like you could transport yourself, to the Yucatan by going to Carnival, elsewhere by hitting these Asian markets and restaurants. And there's no shortage of great Vietnamese or other Asian restaurants in that Madison Heights, Shelby area as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But so this is all making me hungry.
I wish I could say the same, but I ate before the podcast. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, what's the rest of the week look like for you? Because Marcy and I we're heading to Greece soon.
Yeah, you're going to Athens, Greece.
We're going to Athens, just because that's the mainland airport,
right?
And then we take a short flight out to the island called Naxos, Naxos, I believe is how it's spelled. And I know nothing that's going on there other than that it's an island and there's a beach and a pool you stay positive. Keep this keep this country positive and on the right track while I'm gone. Can you do that?
yeah, for sure. I'll be working most of the time, but I'm getting out there today. Today's a day off, so time to thrive.
What are you going to do?
After this, I'm going to the gym, and then after that, I'm going to go for a run, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Independence Oaks and Clarkston to do that, and then going home to kayaking. Just a day outside and a day to be free for a bit, because, you know, as much as I love what I do right now at work and, like, looking forward to school and everything, I really want to make the most of this summer, because
100%.
The thing about Michigan is this summer goes away fast. So yeah, you got to take the most of your opportunities, and that's what I'm doing these next couple weeks and next couple months too, because to be completely honest, summer doesn't officially end until about, I want to say,
September 20th.
More October.
Yeah, I feel nowadays. Yeah, my God. Yeah, we had a pool party in October last year. Yeah, no. So you're going to the gym right after this. What are you going to do?
Full body workout, just because
yeah,
I won't have much access to the gym this week just because of how much I'm going to be working and how far away it is from where I'm at. So I'm really going to make the most of it, going to be there for as long as I can. And after that, obviously the run and...
Yeah. And you told me you're reading a good book lately. What's the good book? By the way, he's told me this because I gave him the book, so I'm acting like I'm ignorant, but I know what it is.
It's a book about Jean-Michel Basquiat, who's one of my favorite painters of all time,
yeah,
graffiti artists of all time. It's not written by him. It's written by somebody else that has a lot of information about his life story.
Yeah, it's a biography, and biography. I read it. It's a good one. It's fun. A beautiful man, but who was taken away too soon. So that said, let's end on something positive. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I forgot to ask you this though. What are you looking forward to the most in Greece?
Sounds lame, but you know, spending time with people who were there with, there's so much fun. But I would say, just to keep it on in regard to Greece, fresh seafood, man. I just can't get enough fresh seafood.
Gotcha.
Give me the octopus. Give me the squid. Give me the fresh fish. Fry that up and some crisp white wine, some ouzo. I'm doing all right. You know.
Have you been there before?
Never.
Never been to Greece before. So this will be your first time.
Yeah, no, it'll be a new experience.
Is that nerve-wracking for you?
No.
No?
No. No, I don't. It's fine. It's so overrun with tourists, you know, that they, it's not, you're not, yeah, we're not going into anywhere that exotic or that challenging. This is
right,
a nation
right,
that's all about tourism, especially on these places. The only thing that's making me nervous is, are there going to be too many people there? I just want enough people there. That's all. Enough people to be in the background of
right,
my life and, right, and to say, hey, can we get you another glass of wine, sir?
Yeah. Yeah. And you better grab it.
Exactly. So, bud, you got a song that's making you happy that can play us out this week?
I got a lot, but one that's been really dominating my playlist recently is Cruel Summer and Sorry Swifties. It's not by the Taylor Swift. We're going decades back to Bananarama.
Yeah.
And
oh, God,
that
good.
Is a classic. Love the instruments being used. The lyrics might say it's a negative song, but I love the upbeat vibe that it brings, and it just reminds me of summertime and just the nice weather outside and just all things good, which is what we're all about.
Exactly. All right. Well, we'll let that play us out, and I love you, son, and I can't wait to go to Greece, but I can't wait to get back to see you and record another pod.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is it for us today, and keep things always good.
Yep, and all things positive. All right, later. Thanks.
This is a Stew Agency production, recorded and edited by Aiden Big Deal O'Neill.